this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and joining me we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And we've got Mark Beard.
How are you doing? You all right?
I'm good, thanks. So, Mark, you've joined us a few times for interviews. Are you well at the moment?
Yeah, good, mate. Busy. I've Academy, which takes up a lot of my time, but also work with Brighton under 15s and 16s now. So, my missus never sees me. Always out.
I'm sure Nick's got plenty of questions about Brighton, being a fan of them.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, well, the season's going pretty well for Brighton. Is there anyone in the under 15s or 16s that's looking like they're going to potentially make a step up?
Yeah, we've got a really good, they built a new stadium a few seasons ago. They've got one of the best training grounds in the country as well now. So
yeah.
And with that, got Cat 1 status, so the players we've been able to recruit the last few years. I mean, John Morley's done a fantastic job, and in the 15s and 16s, he was up for England and for Scotland in both these groups. So it's looking really promising.
So, how long have you been at Brighton now?
Since the start of the season, so from July. I worked with Paul Holder, who's a great guy to learn off. He's a head of coaching there, and also worked with Ben Smith at Arsenal, Hereford, Southend, and Crawley, man. So I think we work really well as a team, and it's a real good setup, as I say.
So, like, how long ago was it you decided you wanted to get into coaching once you'd left the game? Was it a decision you made early on, or was it something?
Yeah, I've been coaching since when I was young. My dad ran football teams, and then he was head of recruitment at Millwall. So even like when I was a young pro, 18, 19, I was going into development centres and helped coach there. And then he went to Cholton, and I was helped run centre there. So I've been coaching since 18, and I probably got my first senior job at 28 in Pedro. Me and Vinnie Samways took the team, a third division side out there. And so from then I've got the bug, and always knew I wanted to step into it. So I've done all my badges now, just finished my 8-for-8 last week. I've done everything I could do. I mean, next step is the pro licence, but you don't really need that unless you're managing at top level.
Is that something that would be an aspiration for yourself? Or?
100%, yeah. I mean, I'm always trying to improve myself and get to the next level to show. So, if opportunities come along, it's something I'll take it.
All right. At the moment, then, have you got anything you want to plug or anything like that?
I mean, as I say, I run my own academy, which we won the Sussex County Cup last week for the second year running. It's an academy made up of lads who have been released from pro clubs at 16. And the development in the last 2 years, they're playing, obviously, youth football, they're playing men's football, because I run Knoxwood Football Club as well, the first team, which is tied up with my academy, so we can play in leagues. And I've got about 7 or 8 under 18 playing in the Sussex County Premier, fourth in the league, and doing really well in that as well. So not only getting day-to-day training, we're also playing men's football, which has improved massively. Played a lot of pro clubs. We played England under 16s recently, and only lost 4-2. And that under 16 team went on to win a massive tournament in Brazil, Portugal, and Holland. So we did well there with the AFC Wimbledon, and those prepping for the Chelsea FA Youth Cup game. Now it's unbeaten 11. So it does go to show that doing something right and that the kids are improving, even though they're not at that level, they just need a chance or something.
What do you think are the most like crucial factors with developing kids? Is it starting young, do you think, or is it?
I think personally, overcoaching clubs. I mean, as I say, I lived in Spain. They literally let them play at a young age, so they get used to making mistakes. But you go to any club in the country, 8, 9, 10, they're just screaming to pass. They don't know, try things and try different positions. I mean, that's one of the things I try and do with my, even my 16, 17, 18, I was trying in different positions. But my son was a centre forward, we got released from Brighton. We tried him a few different positions, and left wing, centre mid, and he's ended up left back now. Now he's got a lot of clubs like looking at him, but I don't think he would have got that chance if he had been in a pro club, because they don't give an opportunity. Like, I don't know, like in Holland and countries like that, they're trying in different areas, even in Spain, right? Get comfortable in every position. So, I just think I overcoached in this country. You know,
must have been interesting experiencing a new culture in Spain as well. I know as part of your playing career, you were there for a couple of years as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, where he's lucky, because we lived in Marbella and we're right next to the MPS, which is like a massive place where teams come from warm weather training, especially the Russians. So we have good experience of watching the Russians, doing Champions League, Norwegian teams, Swedish teams, and even a lot of English teams to come over. So whenever he's come, I used to go along, just watch the training, watch different cultures. So yeah, that was good as well. So it's good experience. So that's the best way of learning, I feel, just to watch. You may not learn a lot in the 2 hours, but you may just pick up one or two things in the sessions and think, yeah, I'll try that. So yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, we'll start on the main show then. Start with home clubs, clubs we support. I read that you're a Millwall fan. I hope that's true.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been an interesting season for them this season, obviously relegated to League One, but just a slow start, but they seem to have picked up recently. Like, they're in the playoffs at the moment. It seems to be improving recently.
Yeah, I mean, Millwall took over towards the end of the season and he started okay, and then had a bit of a dip, and a lot of people saying, oh, he's inexperienced, he's ain't ready for the job. But like any job, it takes time, it just don't happen overnight. And so I think now the fans are starting to see that it's turning, the improvement of the team, and that they've got a bit of momentum going. Obviously, they've got two great forwards in Gregory and Morrison scoring goals. Jed Wallace was a big signing on loan from Wolves, so he's added that little bit of flair and quality, which I felt was lacking before. So since he'd come in, it's no coincidence the results have improved.
What do you think's the target for the season, and do you think playoffs is reasonable?
Well, I hope the playoffs, because I want another trip to Wembley, and then we go up that way, because it's not a better day out, 50,000 mil all at Wembley. We just take over the place, and it's a great day out, so that's what I'm hoping for, mate.
All right.
Second home, Wembley.
Let's talk about Brighton then. Drew 0-0 with Preston at the weekend, still fourth in the table.
Yeah, it was a good day out. It was sort of one of the classic away games, really good day out, and then the football sort of lets you down. But it was a frustrating one, really, because Preston, they weren't nothing. It was the case of two sides really took the point and ran. I think we're at a stage now, what was it, we had about 10 points in the past. Well, I think we need to sort of go out and get three more matches, because we've got a serious chance of getting first or second. Plus, what's the difference really with a point or 0 points? You're still going to be, 9 points, 8 points in the first spot. I think we need to make a decision whether the games can get automatic. We've got a couple of home games coming, Sheffield Wednesday, Reading, so whether he's got 6 points on his mind from now. But that's the only thing that disappointed me from Preston. I mean, on paper, it's a good point, but the fact that they weren't special and the fact that we could have really gone at them a little bit more just disappointed me a little bit. But so it's a good point, and we move on to Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow night.
What do you make of Brighton's season, Mark?
Yeah, I think they obviously had a great start. They unbeaten in 22 or 23, then obviously had a little bit of a blip, but I think he's done really well in the transfer window. He got in some real good experienced players, and I mean, we see players like Sidwell, he's got some more up, and I mean, they may not play every game, but they're just that a bit of experience in the changing room, that's been there, seen it, done it, and can help the younger ones out. I mean, he's and as you can see, since the window, the results have picked up again. And I think just at the right time, because other teams are having a little bit of a blip now, and they're just coming strong, just coming from the playoffs. I know they could go in the top two spot.
Well, let's look at the general championship promotion race, because it's really exciting, the top four. You've got Burnley on 68, Middlesbrough 67, and then Hull and Brighton both 3 points behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's really right now we're in a really good chance of going up. We're probably the underdogs out of those three teams, to be fair. But we've got a great chance. We're playing some good football. We're scoring goals, which we won back to back 4-0 before the Preston game. We're in the race. But I think you just look at Hull, Middlesbrough, and Burnley. And we said this before, like last week with Virgo on the show, that Brighton, we play together as a team, whereas Hull, Middlesbrough and Burnley, they've got those individual players who can win a football match, whereas Brighton really they've got probably the best team spirit out of those three teams. I mean, Burnley, as we saw against Blackburn, they really rode their luck. I mean, I have a clue how Blackburn didn't get a penalty in the last kick of the game. I think that was an absolute stonewall. I think Jordi Gomez has been taken out in the area, but I mean, they've got players like Andre Gray who can just win a game in a heartbeat. And I mean, Middlesbrough, I mean, Karanka probably still doesn't even know his strongest 11 there, but he probably doesn't even need to as well. I mean, they've got real quality, and they've got like two players in each position which can easily just do a job, even Premier League level, probably. So it's just going to go right to the wire, I think.
What do you think, Mark?
I think in Brighton favour as well. They got Chris Hughton, he's done it with Norwich, he's done it with Newcastle, so I think he's got this experience where he's managed like Frank Brentwood as well. Obviously, Sean Dyche had the Burnley this year on Saturday. So they're having that little bit left for the minute with a penalty. And George Boyd got kicked, it was definitely a penalty, but then at the other end, Blackburn for a minute. But I think with Chris Hughton and Dyche, there's a bit of experience there, and I wouldn't be surprised if them two opened up. I mean, obviously, Hull City, we've got Bruce as well, but. I just think he has got the experience to really drive them on now, and I think they'd be successful with it.
Would Burnley and Borough winning, do you think they, and obviously Hull and Brighton dropping points the weekend, do you think the two of them can get clear, or do you think it's going to go right down to the wire?
Personally, I think it'll go to the wire, mate. I think there's teams that are dropping points. There's no one consistent enough who's going to run away with it, so I think we could be seeing it going down, I think, which will be great for the fans and Sky Sports viewers, because it'll be about 10 channels on, and we'll be like cheering one of the teams on, so I think it will go right for the wire. And I hope.
Yeah, I completely agree.
All right, let's move on to the relegation race. It got made pretty interesting at the weekend because of Charlton, Rotherham, MK Dons all getting wins at the weekend.
Yeah, I thought it was a really big win for Charlton at Brentford. I know Brentford have really gone off the boil, and enough for what they were last year. I mean, Dean Smith, bless him, he's trying hard there, but I think they just really need to write the season off Brentford. But to be fair to Charlton, I mean, to have the character, and they were looking sort of dead and buried before Saturday, but that's a good big win, big London derby, and that could really be their changing point in the season. MK Dons, big win at home to QPR. Full credit to Carl Robinson, he's got quite a young team there, and Neil Warnock, I think that's a massive win, that is, at Sheffield Wednesday, big derby there. And to win 1-0 at one of the toughest places is to go in the league. I thought that was incredible. And say all three of them have really given themselves a chance there. And I think you have these sides like Bristol City, even like your Leeds is Blackburn. They'll all be looking over their shoulder now, thinking, "Crikey, we could do it, getting a couple more wins." Huddersfield, I think they lost again, so they're all a bit nervous.
Yeah, I think, especially this league. I mean, anyone could beat anyone, and there will be a few more things dragged into it. But I think you've got to look in the likes of Charlton. Just so inconsistent, and it's a poorly run club. I mean, not just managing the old firm, but the way they go through managers, and I think it's a bit of a joke, and I feel sorry for the fans. They're protesting every game. So the same as the top end, I think there could be a few more dragged into it, and again, right down to last week in the season, which makes it even more interesting for everyone.
We'll come on to Leeds later, but Bolton lost and are still bottom of the table. Not looking good for them, and also it's not looking good off the pitch. I know they had a court case, they're in court, it's been adjourned today, and it's really not looking good for them.
Yeah, they've had a buyer though, haven't they?
They had a buyer with Holdsworth was like the front man of it all, but I'm not sure exactly what the problem is, but there still seems to be issues with it.
I think they're getting sold. I mean, if Dean Holdsworth is obviously consultant taking over, they're probably just trying to get a reduced fee. I mean, as anyone would, if you take them over a couple of debts, then just making less than that 2.1 million they're supposed to pay, then that would benefit the club. But I think it's going to jail for another couple of weeks, so they've got to come out of an action plan.
But on the pitch, do you think that their hopes of survival are over? Or?
Yeah, they give themselves a fine chance, won't they, to the end? But I mean, it's not looking good again, is it? Them, Charlton. Them sort of saying that it's not looking good or not off the pitch.
Well, Neil Lennon seems to be up for a fight, and he seemed it all season in really difficult circumstances.
Very accurate statement that Neil Lennon up for a fight. No, I think if there is a man to get them out of the mess, it probably is Neil Lennon. But I just think I just think it's too much of an ask to be fair. But Lennon, Charlton are probably the two definites in my opinion, but I've been proved wrong in the past, so you never know. But I just think that there's a lot of young players there. It's sort of almost like they're preparing for next season, I think, in the ways the stuff they've been saying about trying to sort of remove the high wages off the bit. I just think it's a club that's going down, but in my opinion, it could even be the best thing for them, to be honest. Like you said last week on the show, that if they're in the Championship, it's going to be another year of misery. At least in League One, they can sort of start again, bed the youngsters in. Sort of, in a way, sort of. You could use Mill and Wigan as the examples that they're doing, and they're having a good season. Yeah. So you could even use that as a good example.
Sometimes you'll take a backward step to go two forward. So
we've got
a bigger crowd again. And,
that's it.
It's tight at the moment at the top of League One. Let's move on to that. I suppose the big news was O'Driscoll getting sacked as Walsall boss. Looks like first team coach John Whitley's taking over.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked with Sean O'Driscoll for a little bit when I was at Crawley Town and he's team manager. I mean, he come in, he was there for about 2 months, and I don't know if he even played a game. And then ended up down at Forest. And he seemed a nice man, but he was, like at Crawley, he was one of them who wanted things done his way. He wasn't happy with it, so I don't know what's happened. I'm seeing it also, but obviously they're doing well. I know they started a little bit recently, but it was a bit of a strange one. But, was he sacked or was he...
He was sacked. He was sacked. It started off okay, but then the last six games he didn't get a win. He started off sort of alright form, and he's only been there a couple of months.
Mm. I think the Walsall owners really panicked there, haven't they? I mean, Dean Smith did a fantastic job at Walsall, so I think it was obviously quite a difficult one to replace, but I mean, Sean's got a fantastic track record. Doncaster is superb. And I think wherever he's gone, he's always been known to be playing football his way, sort of thing, as Mark said, what he tried to do at Crawley Town. But I think, they've obviously panicked, thinking they're in a great chance of getting promoted. And obviously, they thought with him in charge, they might not fulfil that. So they've obviously made the decision and they really want to get promoted. And they've obviously thought this is the way forward. So
I can't see how, though. I mean, the only way they could do it is if they got someone lined up who's going to know the club, know the players. If you're bringing in something fresh, you're not allowed to bring anyone in there. It's just going to be it'll be a nightmare. But I know they got Whitney in, he's been there a while. But I was told today he was a physio before, wasn't he? I know he played before, but they've either got really trusted him to turn their fortunes around. Or
he's
playing special in the locker.
Well, it sort of reminds me, Nigel Adkins at Southampton, wasn't he a physio or something like that before he...
Scunthorpe, yeah. Scunthorpe, he got a job
there, didn't he? Yeah, that's right. He was the physio. Because I think that was the famous chant, we need Marino, we got our physio.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think when Adkins, that's how Adkins sort of put, through his management.
Yeah.
I think that was another
one. I've got to go down, I've got to be a physio to get my job.
if he knows the club inside out, you never know. He could have the sort of the Dean Smith approach, really. Maybe he could bring that. So, but yeah,
it's the top four all failed to win. Burton, Wigan, Gillingham, Walsall all didn't win, and it's Millwall, Barnsley, Coventry. It's really tight at the top of the league, and it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen. I suppose Burton are still top, but they've not looked as strong, I don't think, since Hasselbank left.
No, I mean, Hasselbank, he inherited a really good team from there, and they just carried that momentum, took them on into the season. It's this business end of the season now. This is when hopefully they could draw on their spirits from last year winning the league to see them over the line, because the players are getting tired and the games are like, you're getting two a week now, and it's becoming that part of the season where the pressure's on them as well. So now you see the experience, and that's why I think teams like Millwall, with Stevie Morrison, Neil House has been there, done it, and even if it's not as a manager, it's as a player. He's been there loads of times, like in playoff situations. So I think there'll be a few in this division who will sneak in like last minute and get one of the automatic places.
Mm. Yeah, I think with Burton, like I say every week, I think they're such a good run football club. Nothing's really changed since Clough left 31st. And Gary Rowett came in after, the superb. Hasselbank came after him, did superb. And now they've got Clough back, and I think if there's Man City can get promoted, it's probably Clough. But so again, that looks like the Championship. I think that all goes to the wire, isn't it?
It's something else minor. I saw. Did either of you see Sean Whalley's free kick for Shrewsbury? Not free kick, corner kick even.
No, I'm not seeing it yet, no.
I don't think I have as well.
Worth watching if you can find it on YouTube or whatever. He scored directly from a corner. So just something worth a look.
We have that at Waterhall every Sunday.
Final bit of news in League.
Yeah, is that it?
Final bit of news in League One. Stephen Warnock's gone from Derby County to Wigan on loan for the rest of the season, which I suppose is probably a good signing for them.
That's a top signing, that is. Yeah, I think Wigan, so I think as Wigan and Millwall have sort of been very similar, really. I mean, they both got in young managers at the end of last season, both got relegated, which was disappointing, but they've really done the correct sort of thing, I think. Bed the youngsters in, keep players that know the league inside out are doing well, like Wigan have done it with Will Grigg, and Leon Barnett, players like that, and then obviously Mill have done it with Morrison, Lee Gregory. And yeah, I think so. I think Stephen Warnock, he's a leader, and I mean, that's a really good signing for this stage of the season. He can come in, and he'll be a fighter. He won't be one of these home players who comes in just wants to collect their wage and just be go back to their parent club in the season. I think he'll be really fighting for the cause and trying to get promoted for Wigan. So I mean, it's a top signing.
Yeah, no, it's a good signing, and I mean, right, he's saying that the experience is massive, and he's experienced, and he can draw upon it, especially with young people around the table. But they start to feel the pressure. The fans will start to be like more excited now, and if things are not going right, it'll probably be on the players' backs. So they've been experienced players to get round the youngsters and just reassure them, just like just keep doing what they're doing, sort of keep trying to get results of it. You know what I mean? Because you quickly crumble if they're all young and haven't got that experience figurehead in the changing room.
All right. Let's move on to League Two then. There's a couple of things. Northampton are obviously top. They've been on this great run. 13 unbeaten. They won 10 in a row as part of that. It looks like they're going to romp the league, really. Do you think Oxford or Plymouth can challenge, both of them 13 points behind at the moment?
No, I think it's Northampton's.
Yeah. I know Chris Wilder as well. I played with Sheffield United, Tuffy, and he's a great bloke. And I know a couple of players. Nicky Adams plays for him. And I know they won't let this slip now. I mean, Chuffy won't let them do it anyway. He'll be bang on them to win every game. They're on a great run. They've got good experience. They've got quality. And everything's just playing for them at the minute. I mean, it's going to take a massive blip for them to lose out. But I think they'll run home.
Yeah, I think full credit to Northampton. The character they've shown to do 10 in a row or whatever it was, it's just absolutely superb. Chris Wilder, say, fantastic manager, and he really deserves this because he's done brilliant wherever I see to see him at. Oxford United did great there. And then I've had a few problems off the pitch as well, so let's put that behind them mentally as well. It's just fantastic. So full credit to them and the supporters as well, and fully deserved. And say, I think the race for the playoffs will go right to the wire as well. So it really is exciting and all. In all the leagues, and it'll be battle for the automatic as well. And it's good to see Plymouth up there again because they've had a few tough seasons recently. So it's good that they could be on their way back up the leagues.
Jonjo O'Toole's been really good for Northampton all season. He's been brilliant and scoring twice at the weekend in their 4-1 win.
Yeah, he's just a quality player, isn't he? And he's with Watford in the Premier League. He was superb. He was a good Championship midfielder, so he's what they need. And I think from what I understand, he's always very good in the change rooms as well. So it's what you need in a player. I think in Bristol Rovers, I think Adam Berg's saying last week he was superb there, both on and off the pitch. So I think he's sort of been so right at the heart of their good form.
Yeah, I think right, Chris Wilder, he's like you said, he's been a great manager in the different clubs he's been at. He's lucky he's got a really good chairman now, Calvin Thomas as well. I know Calvin well, and he's going to come in, massive football man, been about, obviously with Oxford. He's the player himself as well, so he'll back him all the way, whatever he wants, he'll give him, which they'll go up. So they've got big plans there. So it could be a big turning fortune for the club, you know what I mean? But 6 months ago, they could have been out of business. So fair play to Calvin for taking it over, and hopefully he's going to show to get promoted and look forward to League One.
Big game coming up between Portsmouth making the trip up to Accrington Tuesday night as well. Both of them in the playoffs at the moment.
Yeah, it'd be lovely. Them and AFC Wimbledon. I love to see AFC Wimbledon because they're fans clubs, you know. I played at AFC Wimbledon and the fans are unbelievable. So they're not far off the playoff spot, but they've been a little run together as well recently.
Yeah,
so Tom don't deserve to be in this division. They should be higher. I mean, still getting 18,000 every week. I pray that they go up this season because they don't. They should be up there just because of the fans.
Did either of you see the incident in the Wimbledon game at the weekend with the goal
at
half time?
I mean, it's ridiculous. How will refs blowing the whistle when players are saying that? You would go as far as saying he must have taken above us, or he's had a better half time with the 3-1-1. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous blowing the whistle in a situation like that.
I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I think that ref has to be dealt with by his superiors. I know. Obviously, we say it is wrong to criticise referees and stuff. It's a tough job. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's just as bad as if a player was to sort of take it round a keeper and then back heel it wide or something like that. It's such a crap decision, really. And even if a ref did it, it baffles the mind, really, that a ref's getting paid a lot of money to do something like that. And
The only time I see it again was another one. I think the 1970 World Cup when there was an English ref in it, the Brazil. As he was about ahead of it, he threw the final whistle. So he was Clyde Thomas or something like that. But that's the only other incident I've ever seen like that. Crazy.
Do you think it's something the referee should actually get, like a suspension or, you know, disciplinary or something like that for?
Maybe not even a suspension, just a drop down, a demoted, like to do a non-league game in like Conference South and London, and have someone watching, observing that he's doing it correctly, because we can't have that. It's just beyond belief. I know the FA. I mean, I understand the official, in my opinion, has dropped a bit, but that is just ridiculous. It really was. I know, obviously, it was quite funny from a Accrington point of view, but it is just, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, if it's your side, you'd go crazy. You wouldn't be able to.
Oh, yeah, I'd laugh my head off, probably, but, like, I mean,
it wouldn't have been my
but it's just,
All right, let's look at the other end of League Two. It looks like Dagenham have finally got a bit of hope. They won their first home game of the season against York. They're currently bottom of the league. It looks like, yeah, they might actually somehow survive, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to John Steele. I mean, you know, he's taken over, but it's no secret Dagenham probably got the worst budget in the Football League. And they've obviously been hard. They're going to get that trip to Goodison Park back in January. But yeah, no, fair play to them battling on there. Got a young team I think that John Steele wouldn't surprise me. They do the great escape, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, there's one thing every year.
It used to be Barnet, they might have Allen, didn't it? Yeah. So, possibly, it'd be nice to see if John Steele can do it. Because he's getting better and pulled so hard to get out of Conference all in years ago. So, yeah, exactly. It's going to be a shame.
And York City, as well, I think they're struggling as well. And I think,
it's two sides really struggling. And two sides I wouldn't mind seeing stuff, because obviously, as you said, you said it yourself, both of them really were out of the conference. They were in the conference for years and they finally got out of it. So you know how difficult it is to get out of the conference. So we just want to see
about Torquay this year.
We're going to be going into the Conference South, yeah.
I went to watch York recently, actually. I went to see them play Cambridge United and they struggled against... And Cambridge United are hardly top quality opposition. It was a big, you know... real struggle for them. They just seemed to pass the ball and didn't really seem to get anywhere, really. They just seemed very slow and didn't look like a great side.
Mm. I've seen a lot of teams this season, you go and disappoint them. They don't seem to have any game plan or any idea of what they're doing. And sometimes it makes you wonder what the managers actually do in training with them, you know? So, I mean, you can tell the teams like in the higher end of the division, but stick to the game plan. I mean, I'm my good friend Simon Bassey at Wimbledon, and I know how they play. The way they look to play, look to get forward quick, go join in. So if you look, I've seen a few League Two and League One teams this year, and just you look at them and think, what the hell are they doing in training? What are they actually working towards doing? You know. I mean, teams like York, if they haven't got that in them, then they're going to struggle.
The other major team down there, Hartlepool, they won at the weekend, beat Barnet 3-1. Had two wins under Hignett in their six games, and they're now out of the relegation zone. They're just outside of the relegation zone, I should say. Do you think they'll be all right? Or?
I think it's going to be exactly the same as all the other divisions, even like Premier League down, it's going to be right to the wire, all of them. There's no one that far adrift that it's going to... They're going to go down in like April, and it's going to go right down to the wire. So it makes it interesting for the fans, but not if you're a fan of the club who's in the relegation zone.
All right. Just want to. We touched on it last week, but I want to move on to what's going on at Leeds. Mentioned last week about they've done better financially this year. They made a small loss of a couple of million, but previous years obviously they were making massive losses. They won at the weekend. They beat Bolton 2-1, but there's been all the protests off the field. Against Salino and the owner. What do you guys make of that?
Well, I mean,
it's a nightmare scenario, and I think as long as that Salino's in charge, then it's just going to be problem after problem. I mean, Steve Evans has come in, I think he's gone through it, he wants to see a bit of passion in the team, and he'll do that for a while, Evans, but after a while, like, tactics will come into it, and you see against Brighton last week, there's an absolute Brighton swore them apart, it could have been about eight, but they bounced back, they got the win. Otherwise, I think he may have been under pressure, Evans, but they got the win, but they're not out of trouble either, I don't think. I think off the pitch, he's just got a great approach, just really good at go by an Italian club and through sack managers every six games there.
Yeah, it's not better on Leeds, fantastic club, fantastic supporters, but last week against Brighton, I didn't even think Brighton were that great, which was the really worrying thing for Leeds. I mean, it was just atrocious, Leeds. They're the worst side of it I think I've seen. There's in the Amex era for Brighton, that's how bad they were. I mean, Brighton weren't even great and yet they scored four goals. And it was just shocking for Leeds' point of view. And I think the players are absolutely ashamed of the football club. I know, obviously, they don't really get blamed, obviously, the stuff that's going off the field. But yeah, it was shambles. I actually thought on the way home that I would be surprised if I refreshed Twitter and I saw Steve Evans sacked. There was a thing that Stellini had banned him from talking to the media after the game.
He still spoke to the media, though.
I think it was Paul Rayner, wasn't it, the assistant that conducted the Sky interview.
Yeah, he did. But I think the reason that happened was because after the game, normally Evans goes in and he starts talking about players and contracts and what's happening next year. When I think Sarah said, you've got to stop that because you're probably running a deal next year, you know what I mean? So you're just signed here for the season. So he's banned him from doing the talk. That's why Rayner had to come out.
As long as he's there, they're not getting anywhere, Leeds. And I do feel for them. And to be fair to Evans, he's slowly actually bringing in some good players. And Dick Aurora and Bridcutt, that's two fantastic championship centre midfielders. I know it's quite defensive minded, two holding players. But if they can get a real quality player in front of that and get a good striker in, that's something they've missed as well. They could be talking. I think their defence is very bad, as we saw against one. I don't think Sol Bamba's very good at all. They've got a young lad, Cooper, who's not great. Sort of a spectacular own goal against Watford a few weeks ago in the cup. They struggled about losing Sam Byron. But what we'll say is they've got some good young lads coming through. We saw Lewis Cook, that screamer the other night. There was another lad, obviously, his name, Doyle. Was it Doyle or someone who played against Brighton the other night? He was on a stew, popped some girl. So that's anything that will help. But I think, yeah, as long as in charge, Leeds will be struggling in the championship no matter who they get in, really.
What do you think's the issue with Cellino then? What? Because I know the fans obviously don't like him. They hold a funeral for the death of the club at the weekend. But you know, I'm just trying to make a counter argument here. He's sort of steadied the ship a bit after the massive debts they've had. Is it not? Are we not being unfair?
Not really that, but I think you see itself. How many managers he's gone through? And that's just the thing that he just wants to sack managers all the time. And, he's just clearly a mentor, really. And how can a club get anywhere if they're going to sack managers and a manager feels under pressure every week he walks into the training?
No stability, is there? I mean, that comes from the top to the bottom. If there's no stability with a manager, that affects the 21s, it affects the youth things, it affects the academy, and affects the fans. That's because they can't get behind the team, they're forever changing things. And a new manager comes in, new ideas, brings in new players, it's like a merry-go-round, even on amateur pitch run. So, all the time in there, he's a clown, he's got to go.
Well, they're 16th in the league at the moment. It looks like, well, they shouldn't get you shouldn't get relegated, but as you were saying before, anything can happen.
If you're going to run off another, would they win 1 in 6 or 7? If they do that again, and teams are below them just picking up points, all of a sudden,
they're
back in it. It was 2 in 12, I think, he's won now. It was 1 in 11, and then he beat Bolton the weekend, so now it's 2 out of 12 wins. So it's
interesting to take their next line of games, see who they got.
Don't have that to hand, unfortunately. Just finally, I just want to talk about Sky Sports. I was just going to say Sky Sports have just named their Player of the Month nominees. There's 36 in total, but the main ones which they've highlighted are Sam Vokes of Burnley, Nicky Oze of Swindon, and James Collins Northampton.
I think Sam Vokes is a top striker. I mean, we saw that partnership a couple of seasons ago. Him and Danny Ings was superb, and it's sort of looking like now him and Andre Gray have sort of got the same link up now. It's what you want, a big lad and a quick striker. And to be fair, Sam Vokes, I mean, before Burnley, he was sort of on loan all the time. I think it was mad how many clubs he was out on loan from Wolves, I think it was. And Burnley really got settled. They got him on a permanent deal. And so that season it clicked with him and Andre Gray. Him and Dan Ings. Brighton had him, he scored like 2 goals in 8, which isn't a bad go, really. I thought he was a really good player. He's strong, got great first touch, and so I think he's a really good player at that championship level. Nicky Ajose, I think he's probably himself now at a good level. Again, he's sort of been all over the place a bit, struggled. And James Collins has been a proven goal scorer every score, but I think the quality of Shrewsbury.
Who would you vote for Player of the Month?
I agree, Sam Vokes. Yeah, I would agree, Sam Vokes. I think he's been outstanding. Him and Andre Gray, like you just said, got a great partnership together. And I think them two will put them into the top 2 promotion spot.
Does it remind you much of Vokes and Ings when Burnley were in the championship last time?
Yeah,
it does. Andre Gray when he's at Luton, and watched him when Millwall played him FA Cup 2 years ago. And I was saying then Millwall should buy him because he's fantastic. He could just see his movement. He didn't score that. But his movement, he was terrorising the defence, and you were saying he was going to be a good player, and just did the burn to the gamble, and just played off.
I think the thing is that like with Brentford, I mean, they paid for about $9 million from Brentford. People like look at that and go, what a lot of money that is. But in my opinion, money, if you're going to get a good for goal return, then it's worth every penny. And he's going to, say, Burnley, first in the league, they've got him scoring loads of goals. In my opinion, that's easily worth $9 million. That's why I really wish Brighton did that myself. I really wish Brighton did it. But so I think there's no, like I said, if Charlie Austin, I mean, I would say at Villa as well. Villa, at the start of the season, they paid $15 million for Charlie Austin. Yeah, they probably would have got ripped off. But yeah, they'd have been in a lot better position than they are now because he'd have scored goals. And
you can't, the goal scorer, that's the going rate. If you feel a bit tight and the Argos on a bit lesser, then they'd come score the goal. They maybe get you 10 or 12, but you're not going to get 20, 25, which will get you to that next level.
That's it. One thing I say, no matter what, I don't care how much you spend on, I don't know, how much money you spend on McCormack as well. Fulham, he's cost $7 million, but he's got a lot of goals for Fulham. They haven't really got a good. Other players have let them down a lot of Fulham, but he's getting goals. So,
all right. Well, I think we've reached the end of the show. Unless there's anything else any of you guys would like to mention.
I'm fine. Thanks for having us on, mate. It's been good.
I suppose special shout out to the football league clubs in the FA Cup quarterfinals. Hopefully, Reading can beat Palace.
Oh yeah, that I like that. Yeah,
I'll second that.
I wrote that down. yeah, it should be a great game for them. All right, well, thanks for joining us. You can follow us at Twitter at V2Football. You can also follow Mark on Twitter as well, and check out Mark's academy as well. Is there anything else I should mention, Mark?
No, that's fine, mate. Just follow me and my academy name. That's right, mate. Yeah.
I'll put the link in the description. It's good night from me, and good night from Mark and Nick.
All right, cheers, boys. Thank you.